Hello everybody, welcome here at the Lightning Talks in Brussels, here at Fostum. I want to introduce to you Philip Stanner. He's talking about how to clean up a 16-year-old Linux kernel API. Give him a warm welcome and enjoy the talk.
So, hi everyone. Hope you had a good Fostum and not too many beers. So. I'm Philip. I'm currently a Linux kernel engineer for graphics cards, mostly, and the infrastructure they need. And since this is Lightning Talk and time is a scarce resource, we jump right in. Just one disclaimer, we are looking here at quite some old code that is quite bad. And I just want to point out, we just criticize the code, right? And we don't want to condemn the authors. Because, you know, it's like people are sometimes under time pressure, doing things for the first time. Sometimes you have 10 years more experiences. Yeah, it was a bad idea, actually. And as an Easter egg here, I have a quote that I like quite a bit from a former colleague of mine who said, as a software developer, you know, at first you think that the others can't code, and ultimately you realize that no one really can. And I think that approximates truth maybe quite well. And so we are looking into a specific subsystem of the Linux kernel, the PCI subsystem, and notably the PCI Express part. And PCI Express is probably the most important bus on your computer. Like virtually everything your computer does in I/O is multiplexed through PCI Express lanes, ultimately. And it's quite old by now. I think it's from 2003 or something, so more than 20 years. It's quite some old code. It's probably older than many people in the audience, right? And the subsystem in the kernel, where this code lives, currently has only one full-time maintainer, which is not that many. And as far as I know, if it has like two, three APIs that are kind of broken, should be repaired, but are very difficult to repair. And we're looking into one of those APIs, which causes, well, overflows and potentially undefined behavior. And we don't have to understand that much about PCI. All that's important for our talk here is to understand the following. So in PCI, you have PCI devices, for example, your graphics card. That card consists of so-called BARs, basic address registers. Those are memory regions, basically, physical memory regions. The best example probably is your video RAM. Huh? That's a PCI bar. And now as a driver, when you write a graphics driver, for example, you want to move shaders and stuff into your video memory, so you need to access it from the CPU. And to do that, you need to do something that's called an I/O remaps. You need to map the physical addresses into your virtual address space, which is on the right side here. And then you get an I/O pointer, and with that pointer, you can access the device and copy stuff on there, which is cool. And in PCI, there's several functions to do that, like depending on what precisely you want to do, the ranges you want to use, other requirements. Those details aren't interesting for us, but we're looking into those I/O remap functions in this talk here. And so one day, I was tasked with some GPU stuff. And I was not expecting anything evil to happen until I discovered this function here. That's called PCIM IO map table, which quite an interesting prototype. We know the C language is sometimes a bit nasty with those. And then I was like, OK, what's that? And this is a function that takes a PCI device's parameter and returns a const pointer to a const pointer. And I didn't really get, well, what is it doing? And then do some git blaming, discover it's from 2007, 2009, right? It's quite some old thing. And if you don't understand how something works, then the best thing to do in the kernel is look for users. Look who is using that function, and then try to get, and alternatively, you could also read the documentation, but who does that, right? So we look for users, and then you discover the following. So this function always occurs as a pair with another function, which is PCIM OMAP regions. This precisely is the OMAP function, which does the O remapping into the virtual address space. And, well, what it does, it does the OMAP and the memory request. And for some reason, you specify which bar you want to map with this bit mask here. So you set the zeroth bit, and then you get the zeroth bar. And then, for some reason, the actual I/O address your driver obtains through the OMAP table function. And you do it by indexing over the function. Compiler people would beat me. You can't actually index over a function, but you index over what the function returns and so on. But you get the deal. I had never seen something like that in C. I didn't even know it's possible. But the miracles occur by themselves, I guess. So, and then you ask yourself, why did they implement that like 16 years ago, it that way? Why? What was the background? Why? And the background is the following. I assume, I don't know for sure, but it seems the author's intention was that this bitmask functionality would allow for mapping many bars, more than one, simultaneously by setting several bits. And that now seems to be the reason why the second function became necessary, because in C there's not really a smart mechanism to return several I/O pointers or pointers in general to the caller. I mean, you can do some tricks, I know, but you know. And here the graphics shows you what's being done. So first you do the I/O map, then that function enters the I/O pointers into some global table that's administrated somewhere, and then through the OMAP table function you index over that, and then you get the I/O address and can pass it to your driver, and then the driver can do all sorts of stuff with it. Yeah, and that's bad. Why is it bad? First of all, most notably, this awkward function indexing mechanism doesn't allow for bounds checking. So neither the function can check the parameter you're passing here, and the C language, as far as I'm aware, also has no mechanism to check that. So if you had a few beers too many and start hacking, and you can just randomly overflow this table we just saw on the other graphics, and then you have the archetype, the par excellence for undefined behavior in C, because you just get some random pointer from memory, pass it to the driver. The driver might then try to write into that random pointer somewhere in the memory, and then everything explodes into your face. And the other thing is, PCI currently supports like a maximum number of PCI bars of 6. So and most devices have like one bar, or maybe 3. And now the entire mechanism becomes questionable, because the bitmask is an integer with like 32 bits at most, so it's not even extensible. If PCI once one day introduces like 1,000 bars, so that's not good. We don't really want that, because kernel APIs, central APIs should be robust. They should be as robust as possible, because drivers, for example, are not always written by people like Ken Thompson and super geniuses. They're sometimes really written by interns and all that. So the more robust your central infrastructure, the better. And another thing is that there are people who like to be clever. That's actual code from the kernel. Here's the file. What is going on? That's only part of the code, by the way. So here it's okay, hex free, because someone was too lazy to set the bits in a readable manner. Okay, and then hex free is like the lowest two bits being set. So it should be the first two PCI bars that the driver is requesting here. But then it's being shifted with a base. And I tell you, that entire code is in a loop. So we have no clue what the code is doing anymore. Yeah. And we don't want, at least I would say, we don't want people to write super duper clever code. We could blame the author now here, but we don't want to encourage it. And if you want your children to eat green vegetables, then what you shouldn't do is you shouldn't give them cookies, right? You don't have to, it's not a good strategy. You shouldn't provoke the problem. And then when you search for the kernel, how's it actually being used? As when I started working on that, there's like 131 users. Almost all of them request one bar, so they said one bit in the bitmask thing. And as I said, as the maximum possible thing would be 6 bars. And if you really need 6 bars, then there's a revolutionary concept in programming. It's called a loop. Then you call just a function that maps a single bar like 6 times, and that's it. So our conclusion is, this API is over-engineered. We would like to replace it with a simpler alternative, IOMAP region without S function, where you just pass a bar index as a number, and that returns immediately to the pointer, and then you're done. And now, you can say you can easily remove it, can't you? But there's some obstacles. So now we saw there's 131 users. That means this code is scattered around dozens of subsystems and drivers, and the kernel patches are typically merged per subsystem. So you need to acknowledge an ACK, the approval of each of the maintainers, and should be reviewed. And there's other reasons that are kind of tricky. And so effectively, for kernel political reasons, it's not possible to replace the API in one go. That's very difficult. And this, by the way, is something that's surprising for people who are new in the kernel. It's not only about technology. There's a lot about process, about discussions, about kernel politics, you could call it. Anyways, we want to get rid of it. How would we do that? So that's the pre-solution state, what it was like 1 year ago. Then you have all the drivers up there. They IO map their PCI bar. This function then passes the R pointer into the magic table, and then they obtain the address through this magic index function thing stuff. Okay, and how can we phase it out of the kernel? We can do it by providing our simpler alternative that I just addressed with this prototype, and that would be a function that just requests our IO maps one bar. And where do we implement it? So the way I did it is I implemented this as the new base of the OMAP regions function. It just returns one mapping address, and the only user at the beginning is the regions function, the broken one, and the rest is not changed. And this is the great advantage kernel process-wise. If you blow things up and cause a regression, it's very easy to revert, because you have only one place, the PCI subsystem, where you can repair the function. And to git revert, and you're done, instead of 131 places. So that's already good. The other thing is you immediately recognize if it's broken, because all the users will use your code, which is also handy when then later convincing maintainers to merge more of your code, because you can say, hey, you're already using it below the surface. And now that we have this simple alternative, we can expose this new API, make it public. If a new driver like F here comes along the upper right corner, it can immediately use the new function, obtain its mapping directly, without this awkward table index thing. And now that a new alternative is public, we can deprecate the old API and say, please don't use it anymore. And pip. And programmers always read documentation, so it will definitely not happen that someone will use the old API. And it will definitely not happen 2 days before my talk at Foslem. Yeah, and then due to the step-by-step, we port more and more drivers like D and D. And one day, 131 users later, you're done. Then you can delete the old code. And you have one clean function that does one simple thing, map the stuff, return the address, or an error if there was a problem. And classic Unix philosophy, you know, do one thing and do it well. So, then some conclusion because many people would like to contribute in the kernel. Maybe some of you would like to. And I would recommend this guide here. I would recommend browse code that you're interested in, preferably code that you have some experience with already. That would be good. And if you see something that looks broken, then it actually most likely is broken. Because my reaction with that code, for example, was there must be some genius reason why it's that way. I haven't understood it. That's often the thing when you're doing things in the kernel for the first time. Because sometimes I get the feeling some people seem to perceive the kernel engineers a bit like the elves in Lord of the Rings, you know, the most noble and wisest of all beings. But if it looks broken, likely is broken. So I would recommend try to repair it, and in case of doubt, ask on the mailing list. Ask the maintainers. It's the maintainer's duty, in my opinion, to guide you through to guide new contributors through a patch series. And if the maintainer doesn't do it, then he doesn't have the right, in my opinion, to complain about burnout. So don't hesitate. Repair things. Also, it's good for your reputation, in my opinion, because it's good to be known as someone who repairs stuff, right? Because many people only want to implement new features because that's the exciting thing, but I think it's good for UCV and the reputation. So I repaired something that was broken for 16 years. That's a cool thing. So, and then you have success. And that's good. And that's hands. If you like to jump into the kernel work, try it, ask. And I wish you happy hacking and a good remaining for Austin.